I hope everyone's planning on being here this evening. Now remember, a little bit change in schedule. We are going to have our service at 5 p.m. here in the auditorium. Service at 5 p.m. here in the auditorium. And then after the service, we will go next door for a banquet and just a celebration, rejoicing in the 50 years that God has blessed Cazado Baptist Temple with. And we're going to have a nice meal. You do not need to bring anything to the meal. We're going to try to treat you like gold. That's kind of a pun because it's the 50th. But anyways, we're going to try to teach you that way, treat you that way, and have a good banquet tonight. I got some special things that we'll do and hand out. But I also am giving you this challenge for tonight, all right? And so I really, and please consider doing so, all right? Brother Ricky Salee will be helping me out on this. But what I would like to do is not only tonight be a looking back and rejoicing in what God's done for us in the past 50 years, and not only rejoicing in where we are today, but also to look ahead to what God's going to do. So part of that is this. We're going to have opportunity after we all eat to individually stand up and just share your favorite memory here at the church. Whatever it may be, you can think about that and just share your favorite memory here at the church, but then also to leave a word of wisdom or counsel for the next generation. Because we're going to compile all of the events today and all of what we'll share tonight and then have it put together for the 65th anniversary for people to watch and to see who is here rejoicing in what God's done, but then also to challenge them. 15 years from now, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. So I really want you to consider that. It does no good if it's just me, right? You'll be like, well, of course he said that, right? So everybody say that, right? We want to do that tonight and just share that. And then we also, after the banquet and after we're done, they'll be spread across this platform, a giant timeline from 1967 to 2017. And it will be here all week. And on Thursday night, it'll be here too, so you don't have to do it tonight. But it'll be here throughout the week, all the way till next Sunday. But there'll be a big timeline for you to come and mark on it any dates, like maybe when you were baptized or joined the church or got saved or married or whatever it may be, and to add it to this timeline that will also be brought out 15 years from now and displayed for everybody to see then too. So we're rejoicing what God's done, but we're rejoicing in where we're at by God's glory, and we're also looking forward. We want to leave something for the next generation. You know, 15 years don't seem like that long, but then I was talking to my wife. I was like, just imagine, you know, our son would be 33 in 15 years. That's crazy, all right? Yeah, that's crazy. He'll be an old man, right? All right? Yeah, all right. You know, my daughter, Grace, you know, she'll be 29 years old, right? No, is that right? Yeah, good, right? See, I got it right. Last time I got her birthday wrong, I didn't hear the end of that for a long time, right? Dad, I'm not, you know, and she told me, right? So I did good there. But, you know, so it will go by quick, doesn't it? Time flies, all right? So we want to leave that for them. So again, tonight, 5 o'clock here at the church. And then afterwards, we'll go next door and we'll have a banquet, a nice meal. And I got something for every family. And then we'll also try to do that tonight and to share. So you think about it today. Ponder that, all right? And that's for anyone that would like to participate in that, all right? You know, it'd be a blessing. So, you know, so you really pray about that and plan to do that if you would. So Matthew chapter number 16, we'll look here real quick, and Brother Slee referenced this verse in the church history moment that he shared this morning. But celebrating 50 years today, and, you know, it's, I praise the Lord for that. To God be the glory for it. I started thinking about time, preparing for the message this morning. And, you know, the first man, Adam, lived, according to Genesis 5 and verse number 5, to be 930 years old. So at 50, he was just getting started, right? He was just a kid at 50. Quite the life to live 930 years old. Now, we are celebrating 50 years, and longevity kind of is a matter of perspective and dependent upon which you're talking about. If you'd ask Adam about the first 50 years, you probably said, that was a long time ago. That was nothing compared. When you start thinking about 1967, to us, it seems like forever ago. You can only imagine, longevity is kind of dependent on what you're talking about. You know, you take a 1967 Camaro in mint condition, that'd be sweet, right? That would be nice. But we, those are hard to come by because 50 years ago is a long time ago. If you have a 50-year-old washer, it's a piece of junk, right? It ain't going to work. But a 50-year-old person's just getting started, right? Come on now. I used to think, I remember, man, thinking like 50, man, I'll be dead, right? And now I'm just like 50, man, we're still rolling, right? Just a few years down the road, man, we're still, 50 gets younger every day. It's amazing. But we as a church are celebrating 50 years. And what should this day, why are we celebrating? I mean, what is this day all about? Today should be a special day for us. Because we're one of the Lord's churches. And while it's exciting to look back at 50 years, it's also worth celebrating for the following reasons. Matthew chapter number 16, look with me real quick. If you're able to, in respect to the reading, let's stand as we read the Word of God. He's worthy of that if you're able to physically. If not, I promise God understands that. Matthew 16 and verse number 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just take the message this morning, encourage our hearts from your word. I pray, God, that you would already go before us and prepare us. Lord, help our ears to be open, our eyes to be looking, our heart receptive to what the Spirit of God would show us today. Lord, now I love you. Please bless everything about today. May it be honoring to you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. What's so special about today? Why do we celebrate a church being 50 years old? Well, we celebrate today because this church that we're talking about and all of God's churches, you see the possession of the church. And there in verse number 18, as Brother Slee talked about just a little bit ago, it says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Did you know Jesus started something there, he and with his disciples, his church? Now there's all kinds of churches that are out there today, all kinds of things with the label of church, but they're not all his church. You see, his church is going to preach the truth. His church is going to hold to the word of God. His truth is going to hold to the ordinances that were given to the church. You see, we rejoice today not because of who we are. We rejoice today not because somebody special went to church here. We rejoice today because this is one of God's churches. This is one of his churches. This is a my church, Jesus said. And I don't say that in pride whatsoever. I know it because, as a matter of fact, it's a humbling thing, because we ought to recognize, number one, that he is the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 23, you don't have to turn here, but it says very clearly that he is the head of the church. We're part of something wonderful here because, listen, Travis Burke is not the head of this church. There's not a board of people. That is the head of this church. The head of this church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever we stray away from that, then we've got problems heading towards us very quickly. You see, Jesus Christ is the head of His church. He is the one that's given us how we should operate and how we should go about and do our business. It's all found in His Word. And He's the head of the church. But also, it's not only He's the head, but the heritage is something wonderful. Here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 16, Jesus says this upon this, Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus would go on to say, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Now, He wasn't talking about Peter. He did not build the church on Peter. Peter is not the foundation. Matter of fact, the word Peter just means little stone, all right? He's not the foundation. The fact of what He said is what the Lord Jesus built the church upon. The fact that in the recognizing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We celebrate today because we're part of one of the Lord's churches. And it's been here now for 50 years. And He has been the head of this church. Praise the Lord for it. He has been the heritage of this church. You see, it is the Lord that has built this church. We thank the Lord for every faithful member, and their pictures went by, and how awesome was that to see all of these people that the Lord used. But understand, this is the Lord's doing, and it is just marvelous in our eyes. It is God that builds the church. And what this church and all of God's churches have been built upon is the fact of what Peter shared there in verse number 16, that Jesus is the Christ. So what's that mean? He is the one that was promised all the way back in the book of Genesis, who would come to be our Savior. He is the reason why this time of the year we celebrate and rejoice that Christ came to this world, because it was prophesied, and we talked about it last Sunday, before the world began, God had a plan. And Jesus is, when He came, when He was born of a virgin, when He lived His life here on this earth, He was and is the Christ. He is the one of which Abraham was referring to when he looked at his son and said, son, God will provide Himself a lamb. He is the one that was referred to in the picture when the blood was put upon the doorpost. Jesus would come one day. Every time they made a sacrifice in their temple and in that tabernacle, it was a picture and a looking forward to what Jesus would do one day when He would come to this world and die for our sins. And when He came, He is the Christ. And He is, secondly, the Son of the living God. He's not just a prophet and He's not just a man. He is God. Now, there are all kinds of things out there that are called churches and go under that label. But if they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and if they do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, they're not one of God's churches. Because it is upon that foundation upon which the church was built. So why is it so important? Because that's everything in eternity. I don't know who everyone is today, and I certainly cannot see everyone's heart. But I can tell you this, that the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was the one prophesied before the world began. He is the one who came. He is the only one worthy of dying for our sins. He is perfect. He is holy. He is God. And when His blood was shed, it was the only blood that could cover the sins of all of mankind. He is the only way. You see, we rejoice today because the possession of the church, He's the head, He is the heritage, and He is the honor. In Ephesians 3, verse number 21, it's out there in front of us as you walk into our foyer, "Unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Unto Him be glory. We rejoice today in every pastor that God has sent to help build one of His churches. Brother Gerving, praise the Lord for that man. Praise the Lord for Brother Webb, spent years in helping build a church. Brother Woody, Brother Williams, my dad, and it's been mine and Brother Slee's privilege to have a part in that. But understand this, it wasn't these men who get the honor. Now we'll give honor to whom honor is due, but understand, every man worth his salt will say, it's all because of him. And may he get the glory. And may he get the praise. We've had some wonderful members who have been faithful at our church. I'm not going to start listing all them because I would leave out somebody that should be mentioned. But the fact is, we've been blessed with some tremendous people. And we are blessed today with some tremendous saints of God. But understand, man, if it weren't for the Lord, we'd be a mess. May he get the glory. May he get the praise. Everything we do around here should be for the glory of God, because it's his church. It's his church. You see the possession. We celebrate number two because of the purpose of the church. You know, the purpose of the church is we're celebrating. It's exciting. Some of you need to convince your face right now, but it's exciting. The purpose of the church. You say, what is the purpose? Number one, we have a commission. We have a commission to find people. In Matthew chapter 28, turn over just a little bit to the right. You know this verse, but we'll read it again. Matthew chapter 28, we'll go back in 16 a minute. But Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to that first church there. And he says in verse number 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Did you know we have a commission as a church to go out and to find people, to go out and to share the glorious gospel, the good news to each and every one? I don't know who you are today, but if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, you are thankful today for the persons that invested in you and the people that shared with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand this, that God gave that commission to his churches. We have an important job that we're to be busy about doing. We have an important job. You know, this morning, I was out last night with our Sunday school class. We had an indescribable time last night. I mean, it was just awesome. But we had a good time last night. We got back. I got home last night about midnight. And this morning, the alarm went off. And I was laying in my warm bed about 6 this morning. And I was sitting there thinking, that bus is freezing. Man, I was thinking, first thing I did was I opened my app on my phone and looked at the temperature. It said 17 degrees. I said, if it's 17, the bus is negative 30, right? It's like a metal freezer. And I was sitting there thinking about that. And I was sitting there. My flesh said, stay in the bed. My head said, you're tired. My body said, amen. And I laid there. But then I began to think about all them kids. Man, it's exciting. We got on the bus this morning. It's cold. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Brother Slee started it like 30 minutes early. I love that man, all right? Started heading down the road. Started making some stops. Time we got back here at church, there's 27 kids bouncing around. Glory to God. Yes. And three of them today, this is a big deal to me, right? Three of them today hugged me and said, thanks. Wow. That was really cool. Sunday school class. That was cool. And this one girl, it's her birthday today. She said, you gonna give me $5? I said, I'll tell you what, Miss Carol, you owe me, right? I said, all right. If your Sunday school teacher doesn't come to me and have to tell me about you, and I don't see you in the hallway with Brother Slee getting onto you, and you behave on this bus and on the way home, I'll give you the $5. She's like, deal. Well, first she said, make it 6. I said, we're not negotiating, right? She goes, all right, I'll do 5. Soon as Sunday school was over, she came and hugged me. She goes, I was good. Give me my $5. I said, you ain't home yet, girl. Not a chance. She goes, all right, I'll be good. And that's awesome.
Yes, it is.
You see, that's what we're here for.
Amen.
Because those are souls.
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful that we get to be part of the greatest work on the face of the earth. Telling other people about Jesus. That's awesome. If you're not part of that, if you're not involved in that, you need to get active in that. Because you're missing the best part about being a Christian while on this earth is being able to tell other people. It's awesome because of our commission to go and to tell others. I was thinking this week, I don't know who the man was. But there's an evangelist that decided that going down in the middle of a holler and north of Hazard, Kentucky, and preaching in the basement of a store to about 30 people was important enough for him to do. And about 72 years ago, I don't know who that man was, but he went in a basement and preached. And that night, my grandpa got saved. Then you fast forward about 20-some years, and that same grandpa's on visitation, knocking on doors, and he led who would become my other grandpa to the Lord on visitation. You never know how important the work is and the impacts that it will make in eternity. We rejoice today because of the commission. The purpose of the church is the commission to find people, but also the purpose is to be a commissary, to feed people. Acts chapter number 20 says that the pastors are to feed the people. You know, we come to church, we ought to come and dine every time we're in the church. We ought to feast upon the Word of God. Some praise the Lord for it, are sipping on the milk. Man, just got saved, starting to grow. That's exciting. Some are ready for the big old porterhouse. They're dining on the meat. That's awesome too. You see, it's a beautiful thing, both of them. It's a beautiful thing. It's precious to see some little bitty baby new to this world drinking some bottle. That's normal. That's right. And I'd be willing, and it would be a precious thing if you wanted me to come over to your house and you feed me a steak. I can't say it's normal, but it'd be right, all right? Because different stages require different things, but here at the church, people ought to find what they need. And praise the Lord for a place where we can grow and learn. You know, 15 years from now, we showed this video we'll make tonight. I hope everybody's still there. We'll look a lot different, I'm sure. I hope all of our kids are still here. And I hope we see where we've matured, grown, becoming more like Christ. Because that's the purpose of a church. The commission to find people and be a commissary to feed people and to help bring comfort, to help fix people. Praise the Lord for the work of the church. Someone can walk in the doors broken, and may they always be able to find the one who can fix them. Families may come in disarray, but may they be able to come into this church house and hear preached the only one who can put the pieces back in order again. I can't fix people. You can't fix people. But this book right here can heal. The great physician can do a work. And I'm thankful, and we celebrate today because we're part of a place. The possession is the Lord's. The purpose is awesome. A commission to find people, a commissary to feed people, and comfort to fix people. But then number three, we rejoice because of the power of the church. The power of the church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 19, it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You know, the church has been given special authority. There's something special about the church. There ought to be a power about the church. See, what are you talking about? It's real simple. Number one, the Spirit of God. May the Spirit of God always work freely at Cazado Baptist Temple. Matthew 16, verse number 17 says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He said, "Peter, what you just shared, that wasn't human reasoning. God showed you that." May the Holy Spirit always be work at our church. We ought to understand that we rely on His power. We need His power. We desperately are dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if a soul walks forward today and accepts Christ as their Savior, it's all because the Spirit of God did a work in that person's life. You see, it's the Spirit of God that convicts us of our sin. It's the Spirit of God that comforts us when we're heavy laden. It's the Spirit of God that commands us and directs us in our life and calls us to the work. I don't have time today to go through all the scriptures where the Holy Spirit of God spoke to those in the church and moved and sent and comforted and taught and convicted. We need the Spirit of God. He is the power. He is that which works in our church. You see, the power of a church is the Holy Spirit of God. But I also say this, that this has a part two. Not only is the Spirit, but the separation of a church. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2 says that it was Paul's desire that the church be presented as a chaste virgin. You see, God wants His churches to be holy. Amen. God wants His churches to be holy. God wants His churches to be a refuge from the world, not a mirror of it. I know there's a sinful world out there, but we ought to live a different life. Not just in these walls, because these walls are not the church. We are the church. Yeah. And we ought to live a life out in a world that speaks to the glory of God. In everything that we do, the words that we say, the clothes that we wear, the entertainment that we involve ourselves in, everything should bring glory to God. And people ought to see in us a difference, because mark my words, when you lose your separation, you lose your power. If you want a good illustration of that, ask Samson. As he lost and went away from everything that was to be, you know, separate about him, everything that God told him not to do, he began to give in to those things. And as he lowered these areas of separation in his life, he one day woke up to realize he was in darkness and had lost all of his power. And I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in lives. You see, if we want God's power, the Holy Spirit, you say, it's all the Spirit of God. That's what it is. I understand that. But what do we do when we live an unholy life? That Holy Spirit lives within us. What do we do when we live that unholy life? We grieve Him. That Spirit of God that wants to work through in our services. Listen, when we bow our head and pray in an invitation, we ought to be searching our own hearts. Then we ought to be praying and say, Spirit of God, if there's anyone here that's lost, may they feel that conviction. May they realize the truth of God's Word and be saved today. But don't make a joke out of it. be cussing and cursing and listening to all the junk in the world and then come into God's house and expect God to do something special. We grieve Him. You see, the power is the Spirit of God and separation. And in Acts chapter number 1, you don't have to turn there, but it's supplication. It's prayer. Acts 1 and verse number 14, the church all gathered there and were in one accord in prayer and supplication. And then just a few verses down, what happened? God's Spirit began to move in a mighty way in that church. I think we've gotten away from prayer, what we should be doing. I think prayer is one of those things we put on the back burner. When God expected to be right in the front at all times. Yes. Everything ought to start and close in prayer. Because it's our way of recognizing, God, I can't. Yes. But You can. Prayer works. Yes. Prayer is powerful. But we rejoice today, and I'll wrap this up, because of the possession of the church. It's the Lord's church. We rejoice today because of the purpose of the church. We rejoice today because of the power of the church. And we rejoice lastly because of the perpetuity of the church. Now that's a big fancy Bible word, but what that means is this. The church is going to go on throughout ages. Ever since the Lord started the church has always been. He even said when He gave those ordinances that they were to be observed till He come. Which means somewhere they've been observed, or else God lied. Even in these dark ages when the church was attacked and persecuted, they were still there. And they were still going on. Here in our text in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Since the Lord made that statement, God's churches have continued. Isn't that awesome? What a wonderful thing to understand. Now we're celebrating 50 years. Praise the Lord. But we're part of something that is far greater than 50 years. We're part of something that goes back 2,000 years. This is special. And may we continue. You say, but the world's getting rough. It is. You know how much wickedness is out there? There is. But I say it every time I read this verse. God's churches aren't on defense. We're on offense.
Yes.
We got the ball, we're moving it down the field. Gates are used for defense. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. May God's church keep going on. See, what's so special about it? It's His church. He's the head. He gets the honor. He gets the glory. What's so special about it? We have a commission. We've been sent by God to find people and share the Word of God with them. We've been entrusted with the gospel. We're to feed people. We're to help fix people. The power of the church is the Spirit of God working through holy people who rely upon the Lord. And we're part of something that's been going on for over 2,000 years. And unto Him be glory in the church, world without end, throughout all ages. Amen. Father, I pray that, Lord, You just please take this invitation.